Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to, I guess this is a prestige podcast. It might be a pulp podcast, too. It might be all the feeds. This is the annual Groundhog Day wrap-up podcast where Jim and I talk about our experiences spending 24 hours watching this year's Spider-Man films. And we talk about how much money we raised. I'll get right to that. We'll have Connor, our buddy from the Cure Owls Fund, here to formally accept it in a few minutes. But before he gets here, we raised a grand total after we added up all merch, all donations, and the bits and subscriptions and the stuff that trickled in the last week. $37,608.50. Jim, do you recall our goal?
$25,000.
Do you recall our level of pessimism of hitting that goal?
Well, in previous years, we always took like the average of the total we made and set that as a goal. I think the year before it was like 17,000 was our goal, and we ended up getting 24. Yeah. This year, we were like, you know what? Forget the average. Let's go for broke. Let's set a goal of 25,000.
Yeah. Because the thing is like you were like, well, that's only $1,000 more than last year, but that was after the bits and the merch and everything was totaled on.
Right.
Like, it was a lot closer than that in the actual getting the thermometer part. And, you know, the fact I'm always wondering, like, okay, was that a really good year? Because we had, House of the Dragon and also The Last of Us in the lead up. So we had some, you know, some pretty big rejuvenated audiences. It's been a bit of a drought, but the Hollywood strike and whatnot, so it felt risky, and we smashed that goal by like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
it was insane. It's always such a pleasure to set a fearsome goal like that in front of the community. Be a little afraid, do it anyway. I want to talk about our experience of the Groundhog Day podcast itself, but I also want to talk about maybe some postmortem. Like, what did we do right this year? Do you want to start with like the experience of the marathon itself?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things we did right, at least from my personal sense of enjoyment of this thing, is I didn't have to run the show while we were doing the show. That was incredibly helpful to just be able to sit back, watch the movies, engage with chat, be stupid on mic and on camera, and not have to worry, is the stream still up? Have I updated the goal? Is like everything still working? That's all taken care of for us by Eric and Levi.
Isn't it incredible that because you and me decided to keep in touch by starting a podcast when you moved to Chicago, that we we could not afford to hire Eric and Levi. Eric and Levi are extremely talented, well-qualified men in their professions.
For 24 hours? Yeah.
For a 24-hour thing, they volunteered their time. And not just that, like there was weeks of prep work and brainstorming. Mm-hmm. If you saw our merch this year, which was excellent, that's another thing I think we did right. That was all Eric just doing his, you know, his design illustrator hat. Like, again, that's not his real job either. That's just something he does for fun, and he fucking crushes it. There's always been an hour and a half or so where I have to do some kind of dog and pony because Jim is doing some kind of behind the scenes technical issue. There's always like, you know, I'm always missing the end and beginning of movies because I'm running a randomization thing for the sweeps. Having these guys just do that. Plus, there was no downtime. Like, we've seen in the graveyard shift where we take a break for 15 minutes or so, like, we come back and there's, you know, 30% of the audience is belted away because they've fallen asleep and they're finally like, no chance to tap out this year.
No off ramp. It's all gas.
No brakes, all gas. Eric had prizes, contests, game shows, super cuts of maybe we can talk about that, the insanity of some of the stuff that you guys experience when it comes, because I had heard of the Italian Spider-Man. I have heard of, you know, the 1978 made for TV Spider-Man films. Yeah. I had no idea there was a Turkish Spider-Man. I had no idea there was a Japanese Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And the stuff I saw in those like interstitial elements was just madness. It was like staring into some kind of Lovecraftian fever dream that was
I loved it. Yeah,
co-written by Stan Lee.
When I was coming up with the overlay for this year, I had to, you know, sit there for hours at a time perfecting, like just tweaking things. And I'd have either one of the Spider-Man movies playing, or more likely the Turkish Spider-Man on, watching him torture people. You know, it was a pretty surreal experience for hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to see Spider-Man in a duel to the death of Captain America, I highly recommend the Turkish Spider-Man. But
and that's the thing about those. Like interstitial things we did between the movies, we really wouldn't have been able to do those. Like especially the complex ones, like the marble races. I mean, I wouldn't have had time. I was working right up to the wire on this thing. I wouldn't have had time to do those super cuts that Levi did for the Turkish Spider-Man or Japanese.
And so that was born.
It would have just
been
the screen that says "We'll be back."
Uh huh. And I like that marble race was born of me on New Year's Eve. Happened to catch a streamer New Year's Eve party, and they were doing this marble game with everyone in chat, and I'm like, this looks like a lot of fucking fun. This beats the hell. But it would have just been an idea I had for like, we'll add it to the document maybe in a future year. But with Eric and Levi there, we could execute on that. In fact, Levi had a good friend of his who's like a spreadsheet guru, middleware guru. And at the very last minute, we realized we didn't know how to convert. You know, like we were wanting to convert like every $50 as a marble, blah, blah. We couldn't really do that. And he called his buddy, and like 15 minutes later, he had this like complicated script that just did it. So it's like, the force multiplier of having other people there you can rely on. Levi could go grab us something. You know, Eric was setting up the interviews that we had because we had a couple special guests to stop by here and there, which is fun. How did this, because I think last year was the toughest that I've experienced yet to get through. Like those 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock, like I felt like I was dying last year. This year, I had a little bit of an allergy issue, which gave me a bit of a sore throat that was really interfered with the Angry Rick and the Good Times Riker segments of the evening. I had to kind of retool those a little bit. Yeah. But this year, I didn't have much problems getting through. Like I felt tired, certainly, but I wasn't like threatening to fall asleep like I've been in last year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think last year, maybe the symptom of that is you. Or the cause of it is you came in with less sleep last year. Because I think, wasn't it last year that you came in saying you got like 5 or 6 hours of sleep or something?
Yeah, last year I fucked up the sleep cycle.
Yeah, that's always rough. We kind of had inverse experiences because last year I always zombify. We need to do a 22-hour marathon because the final movie is always just me sitting there staring. Not like desperately trying to stay awake, but being unable to really interact with anything around me. I'm a zombie. Yeah. So that's a weird thing. Like I never felt like I was in trouble of actually falling asleep, but it was more like, can I be entertaining during these last 2 hours? Because I came in with almost no sleep. I got 3 hours of sleep the night before, and not the good kind of 3 hours, if there is such a thing, where you sleep from like 8 until 11 p or 11 a.m. and then you get up and do your normal. I went to bed at 3 o'clock expecting to wake up at 11 with 8 hours of sleep. I woke up at 6 a.m. Could not get back to sleep.
And that's a that's the type of sleep where you're freaking out, where it's like, I know this sucks. I know I should be asleep right now.
And it just makes it worse.
I desperately want to be asleep. I had, this year I almost had that happen, and I woke up at like, because, you know, my thing is like, the half-life of melatonin is like 3 to 4 hours. So if my thing is, if I wake up and I can sleep for another 3 hours, I'll take another melatonin and go back to bed. And this year, it's like I woke up right at 6:45, which is like 3 hours and 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, man, this is like the ultimate gamble. Fuck it, yep. I'm going to take another melatonin. And it did. It got me back to sleep and woke up groggy, but with a full like 8 hours nice. Going into the thing. So I didn't have any problems. Like I think last year, in fact, you could probably catch me micro-sleeping. I probably just like... blanked out for 10-15 seconds where like I wasn't even conscious.
That doesn't count.
But yeah, I was, you know, no one could tell. But I also, that's the last year's one reasons like the Good Times Riker thing went off, is because that was me desperately trying to keep myself awake, you know?
And to entertain people while I was just staring like a mindless automaton. Yeah.
Now what I fucked up is I usually get over this within a day. And my strategy is I go back to my bed. I'm asleep by like 2 p.m. Usually the commotion of my house, of my wife or my son kind of, you know, getting dinner together wakes me up around 6:30, 7 o'clock. I wake up very tired. I eat dinner. I socialize with the family till like 9 or 10. I go to sleep. I wake up 8 or 9 the next day. And now I'm back on my right schedule and I'm good to go. This time, I didn't even bother to set an alarm, because I thought surely the creature stirring in my house, because I got, you know, Jack over here, I got Eric and Levi, I don't have to set an alarm. I woke up from the deepest sleep at like 10:45 that night.
Oh man.
And you know, we've been doing victory waffles. We didn't get to do that because I was actually at your house. I don't want to drag all that stuff and leave and make the waffles. But Eric and Levi had never been to Waffle House because from Seattle. I'm like, great, we'll do a midnight run at Waffle House. What could be better? And I thought, since they're from the West Coast, that they'll come back and they'll be ready to go to, you know, a couple hours, we'll play some games and stuff. We get back home and they're like, oh man, belly's full of waffles. Think we're just going right back to sleep. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I couldn't get to sleep till like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And the whole fucking week, dude, I was fighting that clock being off. It took me the entire week to recover.
I did the same thing. Although I just don't, maybe I just don't feel as good without sleep as you do, because I was not up for anything that night. Like I woke up around 7 with like a few hours of sleep after that thing, or maybe it's because I went in with less sleep, but like,
well, yeah,
I was just out of it.
Unprecedented to go into a 24-hour marathon of 3 hours of sleep. That's insane. I was like, you know what, when you said that, I was like, Jim's gonna fall asleep tonight. I'm not even gonna be mad. Like it's bound to happen one of these. This is the year he falls asleep on air, and I'll just like drape a blanket over him and it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
but
no,
somehow
powered through. It was a lot of coffee. I was drinking coffee pretty much every movie. I never got jittery, which I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a certain point at which coffee, I don't know, the sleep and the coffee cancel each other out, and you just, I don't know, hit an equilibrium. But yeah, I didn't feel too bad.
Exist. You just exist. We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause. Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
This Tuesday, we're back off the clock with a new premium podcast covering our experiences with the new Amazon series Fallout, Alex Garland's Civil War, as well as some thoughts on X-Men 97.
Then on Friday, The Old Reliable, Lunch with Jim and Aaron. Join us in the Munch Crowd to watch us record live at 1 p.m. Eastern, or check out the podcast later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today. And now, back with more Bald Move. Another thing I think we did right, we've talked around this, is like our merch. Our merch is usually kind of an afterthought, and it sells, we've had some pins, we've had some t-shirts. You know, it contributes somewhere like $1,000, $2,000. This was, we raised $37,608.50. $31,000 of that was straight donations. We had another like $200 in bits, another $500 in subscriptions. There's like $5,000-$6,000 of merch sold. Sold 152 shirts, 31 Good Times Riker mugs. We'd sold the 67 of the main, the blue Spider-Man variant. And that was the one we did this year. Eric did custom variants for each kind of era of Spider-Man. So we had a Spider-Gwen, we had a Miles Morales shirt, we had a Mysterio shirt, we had a Doc Ock shirt. This Mysterio shirt that was like the graveyard shift, the beginning of this might be the most exclusive Bald Move shirt in existence. Only 9 copies will ever be made because it's too late. If you're listening to this, it's like, oh, I'd love to get, fuck off. Try again next year.
Yeah, they were limited time. Can't even try again next year.
That's
they
what I'm saying. Get your shirt next year if you want it because it's going to be gone.
I thought that was a brilliant way to up the sales. The sales translating to donations to the charity.
And we were
really leaning into the FOMO because like they were only available for specific movies, and then they were gone. So. And we kept them secret. We didn't tell anybody what they were going to be or when they would show up.
Or even if they would exist. Like the first time they found out it was happening is when we rolled out the Miles Morales one? Was that the first one that came out? I think it was the Miles Morales came out.
Oh, yeah, it might have been. I think that helped. Although I could also see, we were wondering before because we were debating whether this is a good idea or not to keep everything secret. Because, people won't know that there's going to be another, so will they spend their money now? But also, if they realize what we're doing, they might be holding on to their money, hoping for a different shirt later.
Which is the better shirt, and then they get to the final one, and it sucks. The secret is none of them suck. They were all fucking awesome. They were all awesome. Yeah. Eric made this really cute, essentially fill the groundhog with wearing a spider suit. And he had the mask pulled up so you could see his cute little groundhog face. And had the, annual Groundhog Day Spideython with Bald Move in 2024. And it was the same, basic concept. It's like, he was wearing a Mysterio costume or Doc Ock costume. And they're just really cute. They had custom colors. And the fact that they were super exclusive, I think, really moved the needle. I love the Good Time Riker mug. Oh, go ahead.
My only disappointment with the Groundhog Day ones is that Phil did not have real groundhog teeth. Because I love the Phil with real groundhog teeth.
I think we debated doing that. We're like, let's not make the merch worse for the sake of the shitty teeth joke that we've been doing for 7 years now. Another successful thing is I think people love Spider-Man. Yeah. Two of these movies you could even argue were kind of trash.
And I think Spider-Man 3 held up better than we expected, but
which yeah. one?
Spider-Man 3. Andrew Garfield, that Amazing Spider-Man is garbage. Hot garbage.
What do you think about the first one, though?
First one's fine.
I think someone said this, that he is the Pierce Brosnan of the Spider-Man, is that Andrew Garfield is actually a superior Peter Parker and Spider-Man, but he's saddled with just mediocre. Like, if you want to say Amazing Spider-Man is his GoldenEye, first of all, I don't know if it is, because GoldenEye is actually a pretty good Bond, I think. But
I do too.
It's okay. It's okay. But that second one was pretty shit.
It's awful. I don't know that I ascribe to that theory that he is the Pierce Brosnan of the Spider-Man, because I also think that movie doesn't do a great Peter Parker. I mean, maybe he could have been, but he didn't get the opportunity. Because I think Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker is like more Peter Parker to me.
Yeah, we came down
to
like,
the nerd.
I think if he just wore glasses from the beginning instead of contacts, yeah, like Peter Parker he should have started with glasses, man. But we had, I think it's a great, and the other thing is I've been saying this a lot, and it's like, I guess my final opportunity to do it. Like, you just really did up the look and feel of this stream, right? Like, it looked, you designed marathon aesthetic, to look like a comic book page. Like, it had nice, you know, looked like each individual, box, and they had the little borders between them with a little printing, and that looked like it had that duotone printing process. Usually the movies, we try to have some way to kind of like, you know, hide the fact this is copyrighted material so that we don't get struck and all that. And it's been various successes, but you know, people are always like, oh, you know, you got this process where it's beautiful. Like, the films were put through this process that made them look like animated comic book films.
Yeah. And just a halftone filter. Nothing fancy.
Then you somehow redid the captions to appear in like an editor's note box, and they were in like a pitch perfect comic book script. So it looked like you were watching a living comic book at all times. And it's just, it looked like it's the best thing. I think it's the best looking stream Bald Moves ever put on.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It did take a lot of effort. That subtitle stuff was actually the hardest part, because I had to go in and kind of expand the way I did. The way I typically do it is I have one instance of the movie that I blurkle with whatever effect, and then I have another where I just crop it down to where the subtitles are going to be. But then you can kind of match those pixels up to the movie, because it has to be unblurkled.
Yeah.
This time what I did is I added like a section of sort of green at the bottom of the movie. I had to re-encode all these movies multiple times, but I added green at the bottom, had the subtitles show down there, and encoded them directly in with Premiere, and then I just used a chroma key to filter out the green. So this time I could just crop down a clean, pristine text to paste in that box. I thought it worked out really well. I was super impressed when I saw the effect going for the first time. I was like, yes, this looks good.
You nailed it. You nailed it. And it's so good. We had like, you know, nice transitions. We had these like extended animated Spider-Man swinging, and the Turkish Spider-Man is like the intermission stuff. All the game shows, like Eric is really good at gamifying things. Eric's a party on wheels. There's a reason that he's kind of like does all the party planning for our BIPAC stuff, is because he's just really good at coming up with like, you know, like one year we showed up and we were issued Nerf guns, and we were like secret agents trying to assassinate each other each weekend. And he's always got this way to do it. And he had, Spider-Man trivia. He had a Family Feud where he pulled the Bald Move audience to come up with like the most popular answers for this, that, and the other. And then did a Family Feud style like runoff. He did Can Aaron Say It, where he had a bunch of words for me to try to pronounce. And they showed the contestants the word, and then they wagered whether I could say it or not. And then they'd bring me in there and I would either say it right or wrong. And then the marble thing, which I don't know. So this marble game, is a plugin that you can upload a spreadsheet that has people's names in it. Each name becomes a marble, and it's like Marble Madness, and it just drops all the marbles onto this course, and it's all gravity-based, simulated gravity. First marble wins. And we had, that was just so much fun because like some were genuinely competitive. The marbles were just like neck and neck. Sometimes there'd be weird like Rainbow Road Mario Kart shit where a marble would get flung off the course and then fall to a later level and essentially cheat. There was a lot of, that was just added a lot of interest, and it was never not super exciting.
Yeah. No, I genuinely got into it. I was like, yes, rooting for my marbles because we each chose like half the alphabet. I had my Wheel of Fortune strategy, which didn't work out too well for me.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like,
yeah,
we had done this thing where we had agreed beforehand to like, I forget how much money we did, but it's like, we're going to pool our, you know, we're going to say we're going to donate this much. And then the game is going to then make Jim or I donate more or less money. Mm-hmm. And I was kicking your ass, dude. Like, you were doing this, like,
absolutely
R.L. Stein Wheel of Fortune strategy on picking which names are going to win. And I was up, like, 9-2. And then Eric started, speaking of Mario Kart, rubber banding your ass. Or it's like, oh, this game's worth 3 points. And whoever starts the name with a J gets 2 points. And, yeah.
Apparently,
whatever.
We have a lot of fans whose names start with A through M in the alphabet. They just contributed more because and had more marbles because, I was losing big time.
Yeah.
But it was also nice to have those games because I could get up and guilt-free, like, eat something, go to the bathroom, just, like, take care of my human
hemorrhaging
needs.
Watchers. And that's the other thing is, like, we dipped below 200 a little bit, but we got north of 300.
Barely.
Like, this, I think we had about 40% more live watchers. We had over 500 unique donators, which is a new record. Like, that's double what we had before. And I'm going to lead that to, like, I think that's another thing we did right. I think we advertised this well. I've always, in the last few years, I've always heard people say, oh, man, I didn't know you were going to do it. Oh, I didn't know this is, oh, Groundhog Day snuck up on us. And I'm like, how? We always talk about it. We're doing the social media stuff. But at this time, I'm like, you know what? I hate doing ads, but if there's one time that I can do ads, and if, what are people going to do? You're telling us about your charity thing too much. We did a pretty good conventional ad campaign, but we also recorded a series of these like 10 to 15 second long, hey, Jim and I are watching every Spider-Man movie ever made this weekend to raise money for the Cure Owls Foundation. It's at, here's a link, and we're just in and out before people had a chance to skip it.
Yeah.
Those things were played like 80,000 times. If you listened to a Bald Move podcast in the week leading up to the Groundhog, you knew about Groundhog Day, and it made a huge difference. I didn't hear...
Yeah.
Nearly as many people say. In fact, I've hardly heard anyone say at all that I didn't know it was happening. And again, I hate blowing people out that many ads, but I will do it for charity.
Let me ask you this. Is this the first time we've done a work day?
It's not the first time, because I think literally the first time we did, it was a Friday. But it's been a while.
Do you think that contributed?
Man... So it does seem like a lot of Bald Movers value having time to kill at work.
I
know it did fuck over a couple of Bald Movers, and notably Michelle, you know.
Yeah.
She was not able to attend like the first 8 hours because she's got a very mean boss that won't let her watch anything fun on YouTube when she's at work.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly didn't hurt us. I don't know if that's something that we want to do.
Depends on the calendar and when Groundhog Day hits, but we weren't competing with the Super Bowl at all, which I think was useful. I don't know if we ever do, but sometimes.
Well, we did the last 2 years we haven't, because they added a week to the schedule, which threw the Super Bowl out of Groundhog Day weekend.
But we had a really strong start to this stream. Like, I was impressed. We were at like $5,000 in the first movie or something like that.
We were like over $2,500 before the fucking thing started. Like, there was a person that donated $1,500 like on January 31st. Like, there was a, we had a pile of cash I mean, I think we began the thermometer with like 11% of towards the goal at hour zero, right. You know, that's when you start getting excited, right?
So, but we continued that trend. I mean, it didn't stop. It wasn't like, oh yeah, you can see here where everybody's at work and then they come home and they eat dinner and then it picks up in the prime time. No, it was, I feel like doing it during that work day where people want to be watching something to take their mind off the work they're doing. It might have helped us, honestly.
It might. And also the Saturday where it's like, you know, you're not torpedoing everyone's whole weekend too, right?
Right.
You know?
Right. Just the beginning.
I think that helps. I think that and yeah, for whatever reason, there wasn't really a dead period. Like, certainly things slowed down and got weird in the graveyard shift, but there'd be times where we'd go 45 minutes, almost an hour, without hardly any donos. I don't think that ever happened. It was just steady.
No, not this time.
It slowed down, but again, we carried, I think, like 180 plus live viewers the whole time, steady donations the whole time. The merch, you know, we were having new merch that was introduced. It's all that stuff kind of helps. And because we had a producer, we were able to integrate the merch. That was always fun too. Like, we'd do in between movies merch dumps where it's like, you know, we'd do a drum roll and then Levi would update the total and would jump forward. You know, it's not like that Miles Morales shirt, like, probably $2,000 all by itself, you know? It was super cool. Could not be happier with the way that aspect of it ran. I will say one thing we could do better. Our guest comms. We actually had some people's names. I was like, we had Dave Gonzalez and Joanna Robinson, who wrote the, you know, our podcasting buddies. You know, Joanna's a big name. She just did this MCU book. Something happened with her where she missed like the first half hour of our segment talking to her. We had a great time talking to Dave. Super knowledgeable, knows all the Marvel stuff, had a bunch of great stories about the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man in particular. We were talking about the MCU book, and Joanna showed up, and we've got a paid account for Bald Move Skype. Or not Skype, this was Zoom. But we were using yours, which I don't think is a paid account. And we didn't know this. So the first one, like, Joanna just showed, and we had just kind of been talking about it. So I'm like, okay, well, let's just talk about our personal connection to Alzheimer's. And she started to launch into this kind of, like, you know, heartfelt dedication about her relationship. And we hung up on her because we got the 30, and Eric was in our ear going like,
guys, there's like 3 minutes left. The call is about to hang up.
And because of the sound levels, I couldn't hear him. Or no, I think he had the mic muted. So we had our headphones on. I couldn't really hear. I thought he was talking to Levi. And just like, we just hung up on him. And we're like, what the fuck just happened? And then the Bald Meat community starts like, oh, they got snapped, which was super funny.
Yeah.
It's a super on-brand way to look at it. And Joanna was sorry that she missed most of it. And she actually graciously agreed to make it up the next morning. But like...
at 10 a.m., 2 hours before the thing ended.
Yeah,
we got to that point. We got to like 8 a.m. and we were like, can we have Joanna back on? Because we're not in our right minds right now.
And once we got the Zoom part of it figured out, because we just got on, you know, that we got that fixed. The other problem we had is some way the reason that the sound was piped that it was echo causing the guest audio to echo back at him like a quarter second delay. Now, if you don't know, it locks up most people's brains if you just repeat back what they're saying like a quarter second. It's like something about that is such a profoundly unnerving experience. It destroys your ability to make sentences. So for one interview, Eric was like literally writing a mute button. Every time the guy started talking, he'd mute it so the echo wouldn't go back, and then he'd unmute it. That's a lot to do.
Which
it
was rough because like I'm pretty sure he couldn't hear me when I was talking to him. He just got kind of had a blank stare, or maybe he just doesn't like me, I don't know. But yeah, it was really interfering with the conversation because I don't think Eric could tell when to mute or unmute.
I don't think Shay's a huge comic book fan, and we were the whole week leading up because because Shay's a big name, like combined between him and Joanna Robinson, all the guests we had like a million Twitter followers. And I reached out, and he was like game to do it because he's got a personal. He talked about his aunt in Chicago having Alzheimer's, just getting the diagnosis. And so he's like, yeah, kind of like as a sign from the universe, I better help these guys out. But he's like kind of like when I was spitballing ideas we could do, he's like, you know, didn't have a lot because he's not the biggest suit comic book guy. But his friend, our mutual friend, Jason Concepcion, he just started doing this NBA podcast. Well, Jason has got X-ray vision. Jason's like a nerd's nerd. He's up on everything. And but he schedule didn't quite work out. So he still showed up alone. And, you know, I'm so glad that he came on. But we had the audio issue. We didn't get it worked out. Pete came on and like Jim just didn't, you know, couldn't
hear me
participate
at all.
And that was weird. And then who else do we have? That was all right. I don't want to miss anybody.
Dave, Joanna, Shay, Pete. Talitha. Oh my God. We
forgot Talitha. Talitha came on. But she didn't have a problem because she was on, she was like a reasonable person to use Discord, not this old band Zoom crap. So that was a perfectly fine interview, and it was the best of the interviews with the least amount of production problems. So we that worked, but it's like, man, I wish we had, that was the one thing we couldn't quite soup the nuts test. Oh my God. The other thing is the day before, we had the whole day to work out technical issues. We all thought, oh, we'll show up at noon. We'll have a laugh. We'll be out of there by 3, hang out some. How late were we there at your house working out issues,
I never thought that. I never thought that. You guys might have thought that. Like, knowing how much work the back end stuff took in the first place, I'm like, we're going to be lucky to pull this all together in a day. But we were there until 11 p.m. that night. From
trying
like noon
to get
to 11,
all the audio issues
setting,
to work, the video issues, getting the environment set up.
That's the thing. In addition to creating the overlays and getting all the videos prepped and everything we need to do, the subtitle effects and stuff, I had to move my computer from upstairs because my workstation was like the battle station for the whole production. So I had to move it from upstairs in this room, which is way too cramped for 4 people, to downstairs where we had a little space. And that was an effort in its own right. It took me at least a full day just to move the stuff. And even when you guys got there, we were still running cables and mics and stuff. You were helping like string things across the ceiling and trying to keep everything out of trip hazard range.
Yeah.
It was a thing, man.
We're kind of plussing things. We're doing 2 things, trying to work on things and then also plussing things. Like one thing I realized that like our background was kind of plain. So I went to Walmart and got a whole bunch of have $5 Spider-Man posters. I got every Spider-Man poster, put them up on the walls, got some red and blue lights. That just instantly
that
made
was
it look
clutch. Oh, yeah.
Way
I
cooler.
Think, like the overlay looked good, but the lighting looked very good.
Yeah, it really set things off, and just making sure everything worked, and got snacks for everybody that day. Try to think if there's anything, because the only flaw was like our guest audio sucked. I wish that had been fixed because it definitely made the interview with like Shay and Pete feel a little bit more stilted than it should have been. Thanks to all those and the people that did show up, and like I said. It's a damn shame that we couldn't get Joanne on there for longer than like 30 seconds before we hung up on her.
Yeah.
And then we told her the next day, it's like, first of all, we are about to lose our minds. I don't even know what'll happen if you come on. And second of all, we have had like audio issues. It's like I really appreciate it. Thank you for being willing to come on. And what else is there to talk about? What the big memes?
Food. We haven't talked about food at all. I mean, I know you said you got snacks and stuff. I was astonished that. Well, first of all, I was astonished that neither Eric nor Levi slept. They both stayed awake with us the full 24 hours. They didn't have to. I mean, they had 2-hour periods.
Levi's pissed that we called him the sleepiest little guy that always falls asleep at our sleepovers.
So he
was
had
like,
something
fuck.
To prove.
Yeah, he was. He's like, fuck you guys. I'm gonna prove it. I am not the sleepiest little guy.
He's not. He crushed it all 24 hours.
He did.
Yeah, I was impressed by that. But I was also impressed by Eric's iron stomach. I don't know a man in the verse who can pack away more ding-dongs than...
How many ding-dongs did he eat? And it's not over the 24 hours either.
Nope. It was a matter of 2 hours, maybe. He ate ding dongs. Eight.
Housed almost a whole crate himself.
If not for the one that you had and the one that I stole to give to my wife because I hadn't had a bad ding dong in a while or something. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Hear that? Hear that? My wife's not had a bad ding dong in a long time.
In a while.
All right. I could not believe when he said, oh, yeah, I ate them. And I'm like, oh, how many? All of them.
Mm-hmm.
What? The rest. Eight ding. That's insane. And he did, as far as I know, he did not lose his bowels at any point during the proceedings.
No, he's
as I would have done if I ate ding dongs.
He ate like a fucking high schooler, and he even said that he's going to pay for it. But like, you know, he went to Skyline, did all the Skyline, went to Frisch's Big Boys, had
Waffle House,
Waffle House, had the greasiest. Like, we just like, that's what he wanted to do. Like, I was willing to take them to nicer places, but he's like, fuck that. I want to do Waffle House, want to do Frisch's, I want to go to Gold's. So, in fact,
I think
I've
the only real meal during that entire time was Domino's pizza, which, you know, is Domino's pizza.
Sure, it's not
everything
great.
Else was just like snacks and Mountain Dew.
We got Taco Bell at
beer.
Midnight, which should have caused all kinds of problems.
Oh, right. You guys got Taco Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was clutch, man. That tasted, and that everything came together because I've never ordered that much food from that particular Taco Bell and have them not fuck up the order hardcore. Mm-hmm. And they got it. At least they got my shit right. I didn't hear anybody else complaining either. But
yeah,
it is Taco Bell. Half the time, you can't even tell when they get it wrong. what else? I want to talk about the memes of this year.
Year,
like a couple days before, we're trying to decide, because it's always like we like to have things to kick off the contest. Like when we did the Fast and Furious marathon, anytime someone said family, that was first time you hear family. That's when we do the first giveaway or whatever. This, like, we're talking about what was like, well, when Spider-Man first shoots his web, that's something that happens in every Spider-Man film. And Eric was talking about, you know, the Tobey Maguire ones, how they're organic and it got to be the goo shooter. And it's like first goo. And that we kind of tickled, that made us laugh. The whole community ran with the goo memes.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. Like every word that you can substitute goo for was any word that had like that ooh kind of, you know, like spooky, would it just get converted to goo?
It was
he had
fun.
To be. It's one of those things he had to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't. You're not going to find it funny with us telling it to you.
We went goo the Spider-Verse. So the big memes was goo or the other. So one of the memes is like, because I had a throat problem, because I, for whatever reason, I full throttled Good Times Riker at like midnight and just ripped my throat.
It was to introduce the Good Times mug.
Yeah. And I realized I can't do this all night long. So I started doing some like Good Times Riker, but like, you know, like explain this. Hey, you know, it's Good Times Riker, but if you want him for the whole marathon, I was doing like some comedy torture, right? It's like took 20 minutes to tell like a Nick Offerman story to explain. And it's just a different vibe for Good Times Riker, and Angry Rick.
The Koopa, which I had a lot of fun doing, that was enjoyable. That kind of resulted
Rick
because,
and the Koopa's political debate was a great moment. Yeah,
that was hilarious.
You fucking fascist.
We started. I mean, the Koopa thing came up because in one of the Amazing Spider-Man movies, the first one.
Yeah,
there's the reptile or lizard face or whatever his name is. Looks
the lizard.
The lizard looks just like the 1980s Mario Brothers movie. The Koopa's in that.
Yeah, the Dennis, what's his name? Dennis
Hopper.
Hopper, Mario Brothers. All the Koopa Troopas have this ridiculous round little lizard head.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, it's like a one-to-one mapping of this lizard.
Oh, yeah. No, you called it out, and Eric pulled up a picture to show everybody, and I was like, hey, Eric, can you make a mouth cut out of that thing, like between movies or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we fired that up. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had some good face rig times. Mm-hmm. What else?
I remember having just a ton of fun being blown away by how bad Amazing Spider-Man 2 was, because I expected it to be bad, but it was way worse than I... The dubstep, the shitty music, I can't believe how bad the music is in that movie.
It's of an era. It was definitely of an era.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I was just pleased, like, you know, we had so many more people show up. Like some years when we, you know, it's like a lot of people were carrying a lot of weight, or no, very few people carrying a lot of weight. You know, this year it felt like, you know, we had some definitely big dollar donos and we appreciate those. But like I said, 500 unique donators, lots of new faces, lots of people first time, lots of people with great dedications to their grandfathers and grandmothers and moms and dads. And I really got an idea of, like, you know, this is this disease, we don't like to talk about it, but like it affects a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, more than I expected. Like, it was amazing to me how many of our guests came on because they had personal experience with it.
Yeah. In fact, almost all of them. So that meant a lot. And the fact that, you know, we just way overperformed, you know, I think we got the word out there. Cure Owls is such a great organization. Because, you know, again, 100%, like a lot of charities are efficient when they're like 96-97% of the funds go to the thing, but because their board of directors covers all the overhead of the organization, 100% of the money they raise from the public goes right to Alzheimer's research, for cure and for treatment. And they're easy organization to stump for. It's a great cause. I think we had just a perfect blend of a fun slate of movies, a great theme by Jim, good production by Eric and Levi, great interactivity by the community. We're able to bring people on the air and actually have them, you know, participate in the games by voice. I had some great merch. Anna Organa, if you've ever showed up to any of our live streams or live watches, she's a constant fixture, donated I believe 6 like behind the scenes art, what do you call those, like art production books, like the art of the Spider-Verse, or the art, I think she had one for like Dunkirk and the Avatar movies. She donated those kind of at the last minute.
Who's our Arcade resident? Shenanigans sent in a couple of 3D printed Spider-Man busts. They kind of look like they're made out of spiderweb. It's really cool.
It's super cool. The Bald Move donated a couple of Spider-Man DVD or Blu-ray collections. It was a great experience. And you know, again, if everybody says like, oh, Jim, you got on air and you did a great job, the reality is, we're just two jackasses watching movies for 24 hours. Like if that first Groundhog Day marathon, if we'd done that and we'd made $25, we're like, you know what? We're glad we did that. It was a fun experience. We'll never do that again. You fuckers raising thousands and thousands of dollars keep us chained to this wheel. I don't know if we're ever going to get out at this point.
Well, if we don't make more money next year, I think we'll have to shut it down.
Is that the thing? We'll keep doing this as long as we keep making more money. You're not locked in here with us. We're locked in here with you. 37,608.50 is insane. I mean, that's just, I thought it was a lot. We made 10 grand when we started this thing. Like, that was way more money than I thought we could have raised. And we wouldn't have hit it if it wasn't for Freddie C., the original big hammer dono that just said, fuck it. And we got there. And now we're here 7 years later. We got a lot of great concepts for the years to come. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else we want to say other than thank you. Like, you guys made this a success. Our community punches so far above its weight class in terms of, I've seen people with 10 times the following get half a donation, half the donations for a similar stunt before. And I'm just always blown away at you know, the Bald Moves community's ability to answer when a call to action goes out. So thank you. I don't know what else to say. I'm just completely blown away and humbled. I know what else I have to say. I've got a whole conversation with Connor from the Curiouse Foundation. Do you got anything else, Jim, to talk about, or should we get right to Connor?
No, just another, you know, big thank you for me as well. I every year I'm super worried about it, and every year you guys crush it. So
yeah,
keep doing that.
Maybe next year is a treat. We can not worry about it.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause. Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info. We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
And now, back with more Bald Move. Maybe you can not worry about it. I'm not built for that.
As he snorts into the mic. We'll get to Connor. Connor's going to come on to talk about the latest in research and development, how we can keep our brain sharp in our personal life, and also to formally accept the money from the community. So let's get to that part. All right, joining me now, as he's done the last time for several years now, since we've been working with Curiouse, is Connor. Welcome back to the podcast, Connor. Before we get started, I know a lot of long-term Bald Move fans probably know who you are, have heard you talk on the wrap-up podcast many times, but for the uninitiated, Connor, introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Connor. I'm the Senior Manager of Leadership Gifts and Heroes Program at Cure Alzheimer's Fund. And that's a very fancy way of saying that I get to help out with some of our third-party fundraisers, or as we call them, our heroes, much like you guys, because it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to join these wrap-up podcasts the last few years, to watch the event grow as much as it has. And you know, we're so grateful for all that you guys do to help support our Alzheimer's research.
Connor, can you state for the record that the Bald Move community is populated almost exclusively by heroes?
It is exclusively populated by heroes. You guys, in fact, I would say superheroes. What you guys do is incredible.
All right. Oh, yeah. Nice Spider-Man tie-in this year. Well, I want to get this out of the way. We had an amazing, you know, fund drive this year. We set a goal of 25,000, which Jim and we always like anytime we're stretching, that was not too much higher than last year's, but still it's like, yeah, I was like, well, was last year a bumper year because of this, that, and the other? Kind of sweated it. We raised the grand total after we added all of the bits and subscriptions and the after hours donos and the stragglers that came in. $37,608.50 is the check we're going to be writing to the Cure Owls fund.
It is extraordinary how much you guys are able to raise year in and year out. Like, it really is a testament to the strength of the Bald Move community, I would say. Like, it's a joy to be able to even just, I turn on the stream. I don't make it the 24 hours, but just watching everything going on, the chaos of these streams, I would say is a blast to watch. And it's no wonder you guys have such success, but no, that $37,000, it's an incredible amount, and it's going to do a lot of good for helping us move towards an Alzheimer's solution. So thank you guys.
Well, thank you. We always like to write a big check to you guys. It's something, as we'll talk about, and I've been talking about, it's a near and dear cause to my heart. And it's always interesting, you know, throughout these charity streams, we always hear like the stories from the Bald Move fans. It's just how many people, like all of the podcast celebrity guests that we had on had firsthand experience in their intimate family groups. With this disease. So I think it really resonates, and you know, you guys are a really incredibly easy cause to raise money for. The fact that you know, you're so efficient with the money. 100% of the funds go into the Alzheimer's research and cures. Mm-hmm. There is we talked about a little bit off the pod. You've got some personal triumphs that you've had in the recent recent times.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so the Swan clan has grown a little bit. So my wife and I just welcomed our first child into the world, a wonderful little baby boy. He's the best part of my day. And it's, you know, there are no words to describe it. It's a wonderful thing. It makes me a little sad to have to go to work in the morning, but it's easy to fundraise for Alzheimer's research when now I've got a little guy that I don't want Alzheimer's to be around for.
But that's a big deal. That's the protecting, because you know, I've gone through this with my grandfather, going through it right now with my aunt, might be with my father. We'll be talking about that in a bit. But yeah, sparing future generations from the devastation. I certainly don't want it, but I certainly don't want my son to have to deal with it. I don't want my son to have to deal with me having Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
I don't want my son to have to deal. So like, I think this is, I think a cure in our lifetime is an entirely reasonable thing to be expecting. But
I completely agree with that. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about the drug news later on, but yeah, as bleak as some of it can sound, I can't stress enough how hopeful the entire Alzheimer's community is right now. Like, it feels like we really are on the precipice of a tidal wave of great news and progress towards an Alzheimer's solution. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, next year we're going to have something, but we are absolutely building towards something spectacular. And it's really possible thanks to organizations like Cure Alzheimer's Fund and supporters like you guys.
Well, I want to talk about some jaw-dropping research that came across my desk. Actually, I think it was like in the hours before the stream started, I noticed our local affiliate, ABC affiliate, WCPO, had a headline that said, "Picking your nose may increase the risk of Alzheimer's disease." I was wondering how many thousands of dollars did Cure Owls Fund pitch in personally for this all-important research? And what are the implications of this groundbreaking study?
Oh, all of it. We funded over $27 million in research last year. All of it went towards this one study. So you guys can rest assured.
Money well spent.
Oh, yeah. No, but it's always fun to see what the latest Alzheimer's story is going to be. Like, there was another one a few years back where it was, I think it was, I'm going to play both sides of the fence. It's either tinfoil caused or prevented Alzheimer's. And I can't remember which it was. So that's a good news for all the tinfoil hat fans out there. But what's kind of funny about this project is you read into it and we can laugh about it because it is such a crazy premise. But we funded a project in the past that theorized that Alzheimer's disease is actually our brain's immune system becoming overactive in fighting off external neuroinfections. So theoretically, if they're saying that, you know, you pick your nose, you spread a germ from your finger right close to your brain, then I guess it could be stimulating the Alzheimer's process. So it's, who knows? I guess it's a good reason not to pick your nose.
Yeah, it reminds me of the stories that went around about neti pots like 5 years ago about someone yep. didn't boil their water and they did a neti pot and they amoeba ate their brain. And it, yeah, certainly it can happen. But you'd have to have billions of people squirting pond water up their nose probably to get that. So I just thought it was a funny headline and, you know, something I'll be telling, you know, stop, you can tell your kids out there, stop picking your nose. Don't want to rot your brain.
Exactly. I don't know what it says about the over 6 million Americans that have Alzheimer's, if that is the true cause of this disease. Like, that's a terrifying thought.
We're telling on my dad and my aunt here. We'll have to move on. I did want to stick with maybe something that was another thing that this happened just a couple days before the marathon, and did come up a couple times. The fact that one of the promising drug treatments, or one of the newer drug treatments that got approved to treat Alzheimer's, Aduhelm, is that how you pronounce
that's
that?
That's right.
Yep. Got pulled by the FDA. I was wondering, how big a setback do you think this is to the cause? And are there any other drugs available or upcoming that seem equally, if not more, promising?
Yeah. So I'm going to say something that sounds a little contradictory, because Aduhelm, in my opinion, it's easily the most important drug in the history of Alzheimer's research. And it's also not a big deal that this just got pulled from the shelves.
That does seem to be a contradiction, Connor. Explain.
Yeah. So Aduhelm was basically, this is a drug that's aimed at attaching itself to amyloid plaques, one of the hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease in the brain, and removing it from our brains. And that, therefore, it would slow the progression of the disease. Now, if this drug worked perfectly, the idea would be you take it early on in what's called mild cognitive impairment, and then you would never progress past that phase until you were, say, 120, and by that time, something else will have gotten
sure.
Now, this drug is important because it was the first therapy to ever receive approval from the FDA for the treatment of Alzheimer's underlying pathology. It's basically saying that, yes, removing amyloid plaques from the brain will delay the onset of Alzheimer's disease. This is something that had been a hotly debated topic for decades, really. It had been the sole focus of research for a while. Organizations like Cure Alzheimer's Fund have diversified to fund a variety of different approaches. But having the FDA say that, yes, we think this is working, that really was a big confirmation that we haven't wasted all this time and we are on the right path. Now, the drug itself, there were questions around how effective it is. It had very messy clinical trial data. In fact, at one point, it was marked as a failure. Then Biogen, the company behind it, ratcheted up the dose for a small subject of their population. That small subject started to show dramatic improvement over the rest of the clinical trial. So FDA ended up using that data to approve it, but then the scientific community was really split 50-50 as to whether or not that's just bad data, or if it was, no, this would work, we just need the higher dosage. And other drawbacks to this, it was incredibly expensive. It was going to cost $56,000 a year for people to go get it. It needed to be administered through an IV once a month. It was very uncomfortable to actually receive it. And ultimately, the death blow to this was that Medicare decided they would break from the FDA and not approve it for coverage, which meant that all this cost would fall on the consumer, which is really not a tenable solution. And if Medicare had approved it, by the way, it probably would have bankrupted our U.S. healthcare system.
Yikes.
Because of how many people would be taking this at such a high cost. Because this isn't you take it for 1 year and you're set. You have to continually go back every single month to get this. So it's a blow in that the first drug to be approved is off the market, but it did pave the way for some better drugs behind it. For example, there's one that's out there right now called Leqembi. This has received full FDA approval. It's supported by Medicare. It's very promising. It's slowed the progression of Alzheimer's by 30% in their target population. There are some gnarly side effects that still need to be ironed out. None of these drugs are perfect, but we're moving in the right direction. There's also another one called denenumab. I'm not going to try to spell it off the top of my head. That would be a disaster. But that's also expected to be approved by the FDA later this year. Now, these have the same aim. They're both aimed at slowing the person's descent into Alzheimer's disease. They're still on the expensive side, but these drugs seem to lend themselves to becoming much more consumer-friendly quicker than Aduhelm ever would, and we have clear evidence of their efficacy. So this is great news for anyone that's in the mild cognitive impairment stage of the disease, but it's still not enough. There's real hope around improving this treatment to get to the point that you're not getting it till 120. But there's still so much more that needs to be done for the people suffering from Alzheimer's disease right now. Like, this is not a cure. This is not something that's reversing the damage that's done. So we still need to be funding research into that area and into the preventative area as well to really perfect it. But it's sad that Aduhelm got pulled, but there are better drugs out there that are doing the same thing as Aduhelm.
Well, that's good to hear. And I thought, I know that Leqembi, I think that's something that we've talked about in the last wrap up or two. That was something that's getting closer and closer to the approval and being used. So that's all good news. Is there any, what else, what's the latest in Alzheimer's research in the last year or so since we talked?
Yeah, so we've had a couple exciting funded projects. We had, multiple exciting projects, but I think I would take 2 or 3 hours or at least match the marathon time if I went into all of them. But there's one in particular that's, I think, very, very exciting. So it's actually repurposing an existing vaccine to explore if it can fight Alzheimer's. So this vaccine is called the Bacillus Calmette-Guerin vaccine, BCG. So I don't have to say that whole thing again. So this was actually a vaccine originally intended to fight tuberculosis. But the scientific community has recognized that it can fight other ailments, most notably and effectively bladder cancer. Now, the benefit, if we can find an existing treatment and switch it to protect against Alzheimer's disease, it's going to get to market much quicker than if we have to build something from scratch.
Well,
it's already gone through its any safety tests that it needs to.
Sure.
It has a distribution system. And these are things that would take a lot of time and money to achieve.
Because that's the human trials, making sure this isn't actually killing people. That's like a big expensive part. And if it's already taken for some other purpose, all you got to do, the only barrier you got to do is show that it's also efficacious for the new treatment, right?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. We can go basically straight ahead without too much delay in terms of getting it to market. Mm-hmm. So as we examined some of these studies retroactively of bladder cancer patients, there were markers that this could play a protective role in Alzheimer's disease. And a vaccine against Alzheimer's, that's kind of a holy grail of preventative medicine, right? It's something that theoretically anyone could go to, get a shot at their doctors, and have protection against it. So we sort of broke from what we normally do. At Cure Alzheimer's Fund, we try to provide seed funding for the next innovative, bold ideas that are really looking at the underlying pathology of Alzheimer's, trying to identify drug targets to encourage investment from larger funders like the National Institutes of Health, the pharmaceutical companies, biotechs, and then have them take the drug through clinical trials and drug development process. Here, we're actually funding ourselves a small clinical trial at Hadassah Medical Center, which is going to track 60 people who are not yet showing signs of Alzheimer's, but are from imaging tests expected to develop Alzheimer's. So we're going to track their progress over a couple of years, see if it's had any impact in slowing the progression beyond what we would expect from them, and then be able to see if it's had a meaningful impact on Alzheimer's progression. It's too soon to be confident or overly bullish about any of the results, but it's exciting. It's tough not to be excited about the possibility of what this could mean if this works.
Yeah, it's a very efficient breakthrough if it can stick to it. And that does happen. Like, I know there's like a blood pressure medicine that later was found out to have a good effect at treating Tourette's. It's like you just never know, stuff like that happens. Well, that's super exciting because that's something that could come to market really early if you guys can demonstrate that effectiveness.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it is So our brains are incredibly complicated. And the more that we've learned, the more questions pop up, and the more we realize that, you know, things happening throughout the rest of our body does play a role in our brain health. Mm-hmm. So it really is important to continue to attack this disease from every avenue that we can. And that's actually a big priority at Cure Alzheimer's Fund, is bringing in researchers to help guide our funding who aren't just Alzheimer's experts, but are experts in other parts of the body as well.
Any other things that you want to tout? Or?
Yeah, I would say one other exciting project that, it gets me excited anyways. It pertains to exercise and Alzheimer's disease. So as I said, one of our primary objectives is to fund exciting new ideas and get them the seed funding they need to provide the data to get better follow-on investment. So we've long known that exercise improves our overall health and plays a small protective role against Alzheimer's disease. But now we have a project that we believe shows why it does that. So our funded researchers have identified how irisin, the hormone that our body is released once we exercise, how it interacts with our brains to release a certain enzyme that's actually breaking down these amyloid plaques in our brains. And now that we know that irisin plays this role in our brains, it becomes a drug target. Now we can go out and say, hey, we know how this works. Large pharmaceutical company, wouldn't it be great to invest millions and millions of dollars to develop a drug around this type of concept? And if this works out, then suddenly we have another drug aimed at preventing Alzheimer's disease. And in my pie-in-the-sky science fiction ideas, maybe we have a pill that makes it so we don't even need to exercise. And wouldn't that be great?
I'm sure there's a lot of gym bros and sisses sending emails about it. There's lots of reasons to exercise, but yeah, to do the Alzheimer's thing. If you have others, we could talk about it. But I also had like a personal question that, you know, might help other bald movers listening too, because I know that's the thing, is like, we bald movers tend to be kind of Gen X, elder millennials, and we're all as a cohort moving into the phase of life where our parents are getting older. They're getting gray at the temples. We're starting to get worried for them. My family history, my grandfather died in his mid-70s. He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in his late 60s. My aunt currently in a dementia ward in a nursing home back in my hometown. And my dad, so this is something, like, my grandfather's death traumatized my father. Like, it permanently changed. My dad never did, like, crosswords, brain puzzles, stuff, Sudoku, stuff like that. It started obsessively doing it. And I know, you know, we talked about this in years past, that, like, that's not the type of mental plasticity that we're looking for necessarily, those, like, repetitive games and things to stay sharp. But it's just, like, he's tried to do a lot of things to stay sharp because he's horrified by that happening to him. My sister and I started noticing that dad is starting to get some details wrong, starting to get, you know, repeat himself, have social signs of some slipping. His girlfriends expressed some concern. And just this over Christmas, my dad kind of pulled me aside and said, hey, I'd like for you to get some of these brain supplements, you know, for me off Amazon. And my sister is really wanting my dad to go talk to a doctor, getting a diagnosis and all that. My dad, I think, for reasons of just like, he doesn't think it would help. And also it'd be kind of scary to confirm his worst fears if it's like, well, I'm not having a senior moment. No, you actually have Alzheimer's. I will say this. So to compound question, my dad's 76. Would he have already started showing signs of advanced Alzheimer's? Or is like, what are the times that starts to manifest? And should my sister and I get together and kind of bully my dad into getting a diagnosis? Like, what material effect would that have in 2024 for him right now? What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, of course. And it's such a complicated question, and it's such a complicated disease. So first of all, I'm so sorry for the impact it's had on your family. I know I lost both of my paternal grandparents to this. It's awful to have a loved one go through this disease. Mm-hmm. So I truly hope that it's not the case for your father. But first, what I would say is that, you know, you're absolutely right. Age is the greatest risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. The chances of somebody getting it just increases over time. There is no, there's no one set age that once you pass it, it means that you're in the clear.
Oh.
So it stinks, but unfortunately, we're never truly past the point of being able to develop Alzheimer's disease. And the chances of us getting it just go up as we get older. Now, with that said, 78 is, that's older than most people begin to show signs. Like, it tends to, it most cases begin to show in the early to mid 70s, but that's not all cases. So it's unfortunate, but there is, I suppose, a chance that he has it. And the only way to know for sure is to go and talk to a doctor. Now, in terms of should you do that, it's a very personal decision that I would hate to tell you one way or another what you should do. What I would say is that if he's interested, going to an Alzheimer's disease research center near you, talking to a neurologist, getting a diagnosis or an imaging, it could open up the possibility of joining clinical trials for some of these newer drugs, which could then potentially help your father or anyone who's afflicted with this disease. It could help stave it off for a little bit longer. But it's such a difficult conversation because we as a society have made it almost embarrassing to get Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. And it's just wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that no one has any control over. It's agnostic to your background, to your race, to your societal status. It doesn't care. It comes for us all the same. It's a terrible disease. And I would hope that anyone out there would know that there is no shame in having Alzheimer's. It's something that millions of people go through. And there are support groups available to help people process what is a very difficult disease to process. And on memory care supplements, I would say there's some things out there that can help cognition, but always be careful. And even if you want to take supplements, I would recommend bringing them to your doctor and talking with them about the ingredients involved in these pills, because there's the sad reality. There's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there.
Sure.
And even well-intentioned companies may slip up on something. So I always speak with your doctor, especially when it concerns brain health.
Well, that's depressing, but I do think the thing about the seeing an Alzheimer's center, and because, you know, I think my dad, even if it wouldn't help him personally, like adding to data points that might help people in the future, I think that's something that might appeal to him. So I will talk it over with my family and see what we can do.
Absolutely. And most states tend to have at least one Alzheimer's disease research center. And if not, some places actually do have collaborations between facilities where you can just share your data that way to help researchers looking at this problem from a holistic standpoint.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful thing, and it's such a difficult thing for families to deal with. And I do apologize to not have a more cheery answer on that.
Well, it's the truth, and you know, getting to the truth to deal with that is half the battle. I will encourage people, because, like, you know, I don't want to just repeat ourselves every year. Last year we had an especially, I think, in-depth rundown on like the current state of the research in terms of cause, in terms of the plaques, in terms of the neural inflammations and things, the different theories. We went in a pretty deep dive because I was able to attend a little Q&A session with some of your guys as researchers and experts. And we did the deep dive that last year, and in the show notes, I will put that there. But one thing I thought we could reiterate for people, something that's people always have questions, aside from refraining from picking your nose, what is the current best understanding, evidence-based ways that we can, if you're concerned for yourself, if you're like my father, you want to keep your mind as healthy as possible, what are things we can do individually to delay or perhaps avoid Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia?
Yeah, so I've mentioned it before and it stays true today, but our research leadership group chair, Dr. Rudy Tanzi, a while ago developed the SHIELD model of Alzheimer's prevention. Now, SHIELD is, of course, a wonderful acronym, but it starts with, so S is sleep. Get your sleep. If you can sleep for your regular 8 hours, that is your brain's opportunity to clean itself, to rest from the day, and to sort of wipe it clean from all of that junk that's built up over the day. I know this is the worst thing to bring up on a podcast.
Bad news for the new fathers and mothers on the podcast right now. Those babies are little Alzheimer's terrorists robbing you of your valuable plaque cleaning time. Yeah.
I know. And that's what I tell my son every day at 2 a.m. when he's woken me up. You're the reason I'm going to forget. No, it's so that it's a tough one to get for a lot of people. But it is important to just try to sleep as much as you can.
Yeah.
Second would be handle your stress. Stress is a killer both physically and mentally. Like I know it can be difficult. Nobody can truly ever avoid all stressful situations. But I would just say, try to, as best you can, to limit it, or just find even 10 minutes within the day to just sort of sit and try to, corny as it sounds, find your zen for just a few minutes to empty your brain and just let your body relax. Because that pent up stress, like that, it's not good for you, and it makes it more difficult for your brain to remain healthy. Next, I interact with others. The pandemic was a killer for this, because talking with other people is so important for how your brain perceives the world, for creating new synaptic connections, for even just it's going to pair with something later on in this acronym as well. But it's just so important to be out there actually interacting with people, even through a screen. It's not the same. Like right now, we can't truly look each other in the eyes, right? Like I would have to stare at the little lens, and then I'm not really looking at you anymore. Like you miss those small personal cues, but it's still better than nothing. Having a conversation over Zoom, it's important just to keep us from isolating ourselves. So that's also why I'd encourage anyone with, I know free time is tough to come by, but if you're looking to volunteer in any way, going to a senior center or a memory care facility and talking to the patients there, it really does wonders for their health. And you're also helping yourself in that way. So it's a wonderful way to give back while being selfish and protecting yourself from Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. After that, exercise. We mentioned the study earlier today, but exercise is a great way to help your brain stay healthy. This doesn't need to be running 2 miles every day. This doesn't need to be, you know, setting a personal record on a bench press. This can be as little as 5,000 steps. Go for a walk where you somewhat start to sweat. You don't even need to really sweat, but just move. In fact, the best thing that we get told, it's not steps, but it's, you know, how a Fitbit or a smartwatch, they'll tell you, hey, it's you're close to the end of the hour. You got to stand up for a little bit. That's the real type of exercise that does help. It's moving, so you're not sitting for prolonged periods of time. So it's just get moving. That L, learn new things. So anything that you can go on, if it's listening to this podcast, if it's watching a National Geographic documentary, reading a book, an article, it can be about pop culture, about Alzheimer's, whatever you want, but keep your brain learning new things. Our brains are hungry. It's a muscle, right? Like it wants to learn new ways to make pathways. And that's what you're getting when you're figuring out something new. And I would say, you know, you mentioned the repetition of a Sudoku or a crossword being not necessarily being the best, but if you can keep finding new little brain teasers, then your brain is learning new strategies to cope with all these games. So if you really love Sudoku, but never do a crossword, just try mixing in crossword week, and then you can go back to your Sudoku and your brain's got to refigure it out a little bit. So you still get that value out of it. But it's just once your brain learns to do something and it becomes second nature, then it's just like it lessens.
Any other form of exercise where you kind of plateau if you keep doing the same things, but if you mix it up, do some CrossFit, do some cross training, do some, you know, plyometrics, you can get your gains back. So the brain's like a muscle, apparently.
Exactly.
Except for it's not, but it is. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It in concept, but it's really not. Like it's and then one simple thing you can do. Sorry, and this one I always enjoy it, but if you just start brushing your teeth with the other hand, like you'll notice it doesn't feel comfortable, but it's your brain trying to make the connections for how to do this. So that's always a fun one. And then finally, D stands for diet. Diet, diet, diet. So our researchers tend to recommend the Mediterranean diet. That's limiting red meat. It's a lot of healthy oils and nuts and fish, brain healthy foods that can really give your brain the support that it needs to remain healthy. And again, nothing is guaranteed to prevent Alzheimer's disease. Just because you have a cheeseburger doesn't mean that your brain is screwed. But these are just some good tips to keep your brain in the best shape possible to fight off Alzheimer's as long as it can.
Yeah, and I got to say, the last couple of years, we've talked about the shield system, and I always kind of ruefully, you know, it's like, I am super stressed out. I don't get a lot of good sleep. My diet's kind of terrible. The last year or two, I've actually tried to pry back and try to get a full 8 hours of sleep and try to reduce my stress. And I've had a little bit of victories here and there. And I want to encourage everybody else listening too, because I do care about you guys. Is that, like, you know, the best time to get a good night's sleep is your whole life. The second best time is tonight, you know? So it's like always, like, don't feel like, oh man, I've been, you know, a night owl my whole life. I've been getting by at 5 or 6 because I've been through college and then I went into residency and then I went and I had kids and I did. It's never too late, and every bit, little bit you do helps. So, you know, if you're struggling on one, just keep at it. You know, it's a process. But it is something. It's like, I should take this serious. You know, if I got this guy giving me the best science based evidence of how I can keep my brain sharp, I should probably start doing it. So, this is your reminder, your annual reminder to get some more sleep, handle your stress, get some exercise, get your diet, learn new things. I forget what was the I?
Interact with others.
Interact with others.
That's always the one that trips me up too. And I actually have this written down on the screen because I also found I might accidentally misspell shield and then I really get thrown off for where I am in this.
Yeah, right. So, I before E, except when you're spelling shield. And yeah, I appreciate those reminders because that's the thing. It's like just a little bit, you know, and it's hard, especially depending on what stage you are in life. But I'm finding I'm at the stage where my son is getting to where, you know, he'll be thinking about going to college next year and things are kind of slowing down for me. I'm thinking what's next. And I think what's next is take better care of myself. So
absolutely. And as you say, the best time to start is today.
Yeah.
It's perfectly okay. Whatever you can do helps.
Yeah. And stop picking your nose. Bald movers. Okay? Yes. Anything else that you want to share with our community, Connor, before we let you get back to your important work?
No, I think we've covered it all. I mean, once again, guys, thank you so much for continuing to come back year after year to support Alzheimer's research. As you mentioned at the top, 100% of donations from this event are going to be going to labs that are helping us in the path towards an Alzheimer's solution. And hopefully next year, I've got another even more hopeful update for you guys. But this is great year in and year out. We're so grateful for all of you. And I would say, if anyone has any questions about anything they've heard today or Alzheimer's in general, my contact information is available on our website. Please feel free to reach out with an email. I'm always happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and put that in the show notes as well. And I appreciate you putting yourself out there for us, Connor. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. You guys make it real easy. You guys are a great charity to ask money for. I've never had a problem feel like, oh, you know, I don't know about this, but thanks for doing what you do. Please pass our appreciation and love to everybody at the Cure Owls Fund, and hopefully we can do it even bigger and better next year.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see where you guys go from here.
All right. Well,
my best to Jim.
I'll be writing out the check this week. It'll be in the mail by this weekend. And yeah, I know you guys will do good with it. So again, thanks for coming on, Connor. We'll talk to you next year.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So again, thanks for Connor for coming on to the podcast. We really appreciate that insight from the company and the recognition. You know, it feels nice to get the attaboy from the peeps we're giving the money to. If you do want to take him up on the offer to connect for any questions or whatever, his information is posted in the show notes. Last year we did a deeper dive into the science behind Alzheimer's. And instead of repeating all that, we'll just put a link to the previous year's show if you wanted to listen to us go in depth about the plaques and the neural inflammations and all that kind of stuff. But thanks for, again, finally making our Spideython a success. We're definitely going to do it next year. Don't know the exact details and what days and when it'll start and end, but we know we're going to do it. So go ahead and pencil, you know, do the big old circle around February 2nd, because it's going to be within a week of that date. And we'll definitely let you know it like we did this time. But yeah, that's a lot of money. Give yourselves a round of applause and a pat on the back. Thank you so much. Bald Move community, undefeated. We'll see you next year.